I had a press to ask Gail to prepare. So, Gail, young lady, give out what God gave you.
Well, I want to thank Peggy for being obedient to the CD, because it confirmed.
Oh, God told me.
Good.
Yes.
A few weeks ago, when Kim and Irene had taken a trip, the night before, I was listening to a webcast, and the webcast was going into the ISIS, and I was getting upset. And so I just kept taking it before the Lord, and finally I was able to find peace. And the peace came from Him. But that next morning when I got up, and that was the morning I was to speak, and during my worship time at home, the Lord downloaded the fear of the Lord into my spirit. And I didn't have time to get a whole lot of it because I knew I was short on time, but I knew what I was hearing, and it definitely was, it wasn't all of it, but it was on the fear of the Lord, and the Lord was making a point on the extreme importance of fear of the Lord. And I knew where to go to get the scriptures that were coming in. So I went and I read the scriptures. And he also confirmed to me that I had been walking in a very strong loving the Lord. And that had great comfort, great peace, great joy. It was doing a lot for me. But the Lord was confirming to me that coupled together with loving God is fear of God, and the two are foundational. And that as strong as the love of the Lord was, the fear of the Lord's foundation was not where it should be. Okay, God? Thank you. When God corrects, He corrects. So you pay attention. So I had a book on the fear of the Lord, and I immediately set about rereading, which I had read this book before, highlighted everything, but apparently it didn't go deep enough. So I went back in, and over the space of a week, I got through it. I just devoted myself to it, and he went in much, much deeper with it. So when Kim asked me at 9 o'clock last night to speak, that's what came in. And I didn't know what part of it, and I just left it alone and said, okay, God, I'm not sure what part of it. And then he showed me pieces of it. So I will give you a lot of scripture that confirms, and it really confirms what was on the CD. The first three scriptures that he really impressed on my heart this morning, because I was going over this morning, is Psalm. It's amazing how much of this comes from the Psalms to me. This is astounding that how much of it is right there in the Psalms on fear of the Lord. In Psalm 5, verse 7, in fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. And that's exactly what we were hearing on the CD. And then in Leviticus 19, verse 30, it says, you shall reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. And then in Psalm 34, verse 9, O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. As I reviewed these scriptures, as I was going back through this, my spirit started to get very happy, because I knew that what I had been really looking for all my life, this was answering it. So I said, okay, Lord, obviously I can't do this whole thing this morning. There's a lot of it in here that is not pertinent to at the moment. So he did take me to a couple of chapters that I'd like to share with you that hopefully will speak to your heart. And I will follow some comments from the man who wrote this book, who, by the way, is John Bevere, because it speaks to my heart. He had the same problem. He realized that fear of the Lord was not where it should be in his heart, and he asked the Lord to put it there, which I in turn have done. And by the way, that couples together with our earlier discussion, Kim, that has come in with that same problem. So those two are working together. And one of the comments he makes in here, which is a very deep comment to ponder, for how can we duly respect and honor him if we remain unaware of his greatness or why he deserves it? And I'll give you another scripture, which is Psalm 89, verse 6 and 7. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. One of the things that has really astounded me, I have no answer for it, God has not answered it, but it just amazed me that when God did appear on the earth, the Israelites didn't recognize him. They followed him, they did it, but they didn't recognize him. I found that very perplexing to think that this happened, that God is literally walking the earth in his son, and they didn't recognize and they didn't receive him. Kind of answered some of the questions for me that when I was going through extreme difficulty in my life, that nobody was answering them because they didn't either. And Isaiah 29, verse 13, kind of answers this, that God speaks it. Inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. So we can note from this particular scripture that though the fear of God should be taught by he himself because no one else would know, it's the commandments of men that are being taught to men, and thereby the glory of the Lord is being reduced to an inaccurate image of who God really is. So it's kind of like man brings him down to his image. So something that he thinks he could relate to, and maybe something he thinks he can control, whatever it is, but in his mind he's reduced the image of God, thereby not able to truly worship and acknowledge the Lord in all his greatness and glory. So the glory of the Lord is misshapen in their minds. Even the Israelites, when they formed the golden calf, they're worshiping this calf and calling it the Lord.
Yeah.
So the image in their mind was wrong. The words were speaking correctly, but the image was wrong. So again, they reduced God's greatness to something that they were familiar with. Now we can go forward to this is just kind of hopping through New Testament to make this point, and hopefully this makes an impression in your heart, the criticalness of fear of the Lord in our hearts. So in the New Testament, we are into the book of Romans, verse 1, 20 and 21. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly, I circled the word clearly in the book, clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. And then following that scripture in verse 23, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. So again, we see that the image of God is reduced. So even though man could clearly see, as he looked out at the creation and all that God has made, and as this scripture teaches us, it's clearly seen, there's no mistaking it, that still the glory of God was not acknowledged by those that were seeing it. So those were serving an image that they have made in their own mind. So if the church, and I'm not singling out any one church, but just taking the church in general. So if the church If the church is seeing men that have reduced this image and they're sitting in the congregation, so what is that speaking? Are these people being brought to a level of... Pete, are you saying something?
Yep. So they're making God, quote unquote, more manageable for them.
Yeah, what is more comfortable, what is more familiar.
It is easier.
But what is speaking to my heart, and this is what God has been showing me here in these few scriptures I'm sharing, that takes my heart and brings it to a whole new place, that I can worship and I can acknowledge and I can get rid of that old image. Because that's what he's doing as I focus here. But if in the church the wrong message is given to, I'm not singling out anyone, but any church, the people sitting there are receiving the more image. So does God have any meaning? Does God have any getting any glory? Is there anything happening to the people? No, it's not happening. So people that are in this particular position could be people, and this was my background, that did not have respect for authority. I did not have respect for authority. Therefore, when authority was brought into my path, I refused to bow to it. And I can remember that when the Lord gave me the job with the SHINE program, I greatly disagreed with the lady that was head of the program for the state. And she was totally disrespectful. But the Lord reminded me, I put you in that job so you would learn to respect authority. I really didn't want to hear that because she was not, in my eyes, deserving. Fact was, she had the job. So I had to make some quick adjustments. And I had two people above me in the city that were doing the same thing. So here I had three levels of authority above me that I did not respect, but I had to show them honor. That was the difference. I couldn't respect what I was seeing them do, but I had to honor them because they had that position. That was a rather difficult adjustment. So the more our comprehension is of the greatness of God, the greater our fear of God can grow if we choose to go that route. So one of the ways we do this is the whole universe has got a sermon. It's preaching. All around us is preaching. So I'll give you another scripture. Psalm 47:7. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. That speaks volumes. If, as we're singing praises, we acknowledge the truth of the scripture, God is King of all the earth, our praises can be sung with understanding. So therefore, this scripture is giving us an invitation to behold the greatness of God. And again in Psalm 145, verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. That's an awesome statement. That just tells me how amazing our God is, that his greatness is unsearchable. And yet, I'm told great is the Lord. So let's take a little more look at God's glory as we're seeing it, that helps our heart to digest who he really is. Psalm 145, verses 10 and 11 says, all your works shall praise you, O Lord. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. That speaks volumes to me. It tells me that is the gloriousness of his kingdom, but it also tells me of the amazingness of his power. My words can't even do it justice. It's impossible. We see that in Isaiah 40, verse 12, it's describing the waters of the earth. All the waters of the earth are in the palm of his hand. Now that is enough to blow your mind.
I like that.
All the waters of the earth are in the palm of his hand, and that he can measure the universe with the span of his hand. Can we possibly scope this? Obviously this can't get that. But it just gives me that, I can't call it glimpse, that understanding of how amazing he is. Imagine this. All the waters of the earth in the palm of his hand, and the universe is in the span of his hand. Wow. And then one of my scriptures now that has become very dear to my heart, Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech.
Yeah.
Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard.
Hallelujah.
Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world.
Hallelujah.
No place on earth that their speech is not heard. All the works of God. It is clearly seen and clearly spoken by just what they are. Psalm 8:3 tells us that he put the stars in the heavens and arranged them where they are. Does that not speak of the amazingness of our God? Can you imagine that? All those stars that you see, not only does he create them, he arranged them where they are, and he gave them all a name. And that's only the stars in the Milky Way. That just, my mind just, it's way beyond the level of my human mind. This is where my faith starts to take action. And we can look at all the scientific descriptions of the moon, the sun, how far they are from Earth, how the orbits, all done by our God. And I was pondering this morning, even now, they had a blood moon that took place two nights ago. It was actually, I guess it was in the morning. And that's when we had our big thunderstorm. God did that. There's no way that there's anything that, but he allowed that. He allowed that at exactly the perfect time for his plan. That's just, I am awed. I am utterly, utterly awed. Another scripture that ties into this is Jeremiah 10:12. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom. So not only are we seeing the power of God displayed by what he created, but his wisdom has established it. My understanding is of established means it's very foundational. It's solid. It's in there. It's the basic foundation. So he has established the world by his wisdom. All that we see in the world is, it's in there. He's done it. And it's a great display. Look at us. I'm sure Dr. Bob could fill in quite a few details on the human body. The cell, right down to the little tiniest little things that I don't even know if they can be seen into the cell. How amazingly awesome that is. I frequently get attacks in that area. And when I get attacks in that area, I just stand right up and I say, Psalm 139,
yep.
I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Hallelujah.
Answering that attack that's trying to, it's kind of trying to make me not appreciate what he created. But that just blows my mind. All these parts of the body that he's created. I remember when I would take my mom to the doctor. We had a lot of doctor visits. What am I doing? I'm standing gazing at the charts on the wall, the doctors of the human body. And I was blown away. I'm talking to my mom about, look at this, look how this works. Whoop, look at this. Isn't this amazing? I just was awed. That pretty much sums up where I want to go this morning. Those are the two chapters he focused me on, is his glory that we see in creation. Those scriptures are loaded. If you go back to any one of those scriptures or whatever ones the Lord leads you to, that you are able to get a understanding, get a picture of the greatness of our God. So that in our times of worship, when we are worshiping, that's who you're worshiping. That's who it is. And even when we're looking at another person, I may not agree with that person. I may not like what I see, but I have to acknowledge the amazingness of God that even created that person. That I have to acknowledge, although their thinking may be off. And that teaches me to deeply respect other people for who God created, what God created. They're just my words are not going to do it justice. The word of the Lord does it justice. So let the greatness of our God take a new place in your heart and bring you to a new level in Him. Thank you.